Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to IFGL Refractories Limited Q2 and H1 FY26 earnings conference call, hosted by Monarch Networth Capital Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sahil Sanghvi from Monarch Networth Capital Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Ikra. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of Monarch Networth Capital, I welcome you all to the Q2 FY26 earnings conference call of IFGL Refractories Limited. We are pleased to have with us the management being represented by Mr. Rasu Shanmugam, Director and CEO India, and Mr. Amit Agarwal, Chief Financial Officer. We'll have the opening remarks from the management followed by Q&A. Thank you, and over to the management for the opening remarks, please.
So, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am Rasu Shanmugam. Thank you for joining us on IFGL Refractories Limited Q2 and H1 FY26 earnings call. So, I hope you and family and friends are in good health. Along with me on the call, we have Mr. Amit Agarwal, our CFO, and SGA, our investor relations advisors. We have uploaded the results and the presentation on the stock exchange, and I hope everybody had a chance to go through the same. I'm pleased to share that IFGL Refractories delivered a steady performance in second quarter, reflecting our continued focus on operational excellence. On a consolidated basis, total income grew by 18% year-on-year, supported by a strong traction across markets. On a standalone basis, revenue grew by 12%, driven primarily by robust growth in our domestic business. Let me now share a brief perspective on the global steel industry, which continues to be the key demand driver for refractories. According to the World Steel Association's latest outlook, global steel demand in 2025 is expected to remain broadly stable at around 1,749 million tons. This is likely to be followed by a modest rebound of about 1.3% in 2026, taking overall demand to roughly 1,773 million tons. Now, while trade tensions and geopolitical uncertainties continue to weigh on sentiment, the overall outlook remains cautiously optimistic. This is being supported by steady economic activity, ongoing public infrastructure investment, and softer financial conditions across major economies. Regionally, India stands out as the most dynamic growth market. Steel demand here is expected to grow by around 9% a year over 2025 and 2026, driven by strong infrastructure spending, manufacturing expansion, and broad-based industrial growth. India is now firmly positioned as one of the fastest-growing steel-consuming nations, which provides a solid foundation for refractory demand going forward. In Europe and the U.K., after a prolonged period of slowdown, steel demand is set to see a gradual recovery, growing by about 1.3% in 2025 and 3.2% in 2026. This improvement will come on the back of renewed infrastructure and defense spending, along with a more stable macroeconomic environment marked by lower inflation and improved credit conditions. These signs indicate the industrial recovery in the region is gaining traction. United States, too, is expected to post steady growth, with demand projected to rise by around 1.8% in both years, 2025 and 2026. Key drivers here will include sustained infrastructure investments, a stronger domestic manufacturing push, and supportive trade policies. In addition, easing financial conditions and policy stability should continue to support key end users, sectors such as construction and automotive. In China, steel demand is expected to contract modestly by about 2% in 2025 and 1% in 2026, reflecting a continued slowdown in the housing market. That said, this decline is likely to ease over time. The infrastructure spending helps cushion the weakness in the real estate. Outside these major markets, developing countries, excluding China, including Vietnam, Egypt, and Saudi Arabia, are expected to deliver robust growth of 3%-5% annually, supported by sustained construction and industrial activities. In Africa, steel demand is also gaining momentum, rising at roughly 5.5% each year, helped by improving macroeconomic stability, structural reforms, and growth in northern and eastern regions. Similarly, Central and South America are projected to grow by around 5.5% in 2025, led by Argentina's recovery and the continued strong demand in Brazil. Now, while challenges such as higher production costs, trade friction, and geopolitical tensions continue to pose risk, the medium-term outlook for the steel industry remains constructive. Growth is becoming more balanced across regions and more diversified by sectors. With our presence across India, Europe, the U.K., the U.S., and China, we are well positioned to capture these opportunities. Our wide geographic reach, strong technical expertise, and focus on high-performance refractories give us the right foundation to benefit as global steel demand stabilizes and gradually recovers over the next few years. Moving on to our operational performance, our Indian operations have been performing exceptionally well, establishing a strong position in the domestic market. A strategic decision taken a few years ago to focus on India made, India sold is now yielding significant results. While global steel markets continue to face macroeconomic challenges, India stands out as a bright spot, with steel demand expected to grow by around 9% as per the World Steel Association. Our domestic focus not only aligns us with this growth opportunity but also strengthened our relationship with leading Indian steel producers. Backed by our advanced technology and the continuous efforts of our research and development center, we have successfully added new customers. We are also witnessing higher penetration across both steel and cement plants, supported by new product introduction and a steady pickup in our non-ferrous business, which we see as a strong growth driver in the coming years. Entry into all major cement plants and the rising demand for alumina bricks in coke oven and coal gasification plants will further strengthen our domestic footprint. As a result, our domestic revenue grew by 27% during the quarter and by 29% during the first half on a year-on-year basis. Notably, nearly 78% of our standalone revenue now comes from the Indian market, a remarkable turnaround from the earlier years when exports accounted for nearly 70%-80% of our business. Moving ahead, our American operations have shown encouraging improvement. The recent tariff policy changes, price adjustment with key customers, and a rebound in demand have all contributed to a very strong performance. Revenue from our U.S. operations grew by 26% during the quarter, reflecting this positive momentum. Our European operations, particularly Sheffield, have performed steadily despite continued weakness in overall demand across the region. The long-awaited recovery in European Union steel demand is gradually emerging, providing some optimism for the sector. At Monocon U.K., performance is improving under the new management team with enhanced focus on the core refractory products. This transition is already showing encouraging results, and we expect Monocon U.K. to achieve break-even within this financial year or early next year. Additionally, the Sheffield technology transfer is progressing well and is expected to be completed by December this year, 2025, following which the imported product will undergo testing at a major cement plant in India for shortening application and more, shotcreting application and more. Monocon International Refractories Incorporated, a wholly owned subsidiary in Australia, a milestone that expands our footprint into new geographies and positions us for future growth and tap new market. Moving on to our CapEx initiatives, our greenfield project at Khurda, Odisha has been initiated and is progressing well. The project built an estimated investment of 300 to 350 crore is expected to be completed by the end of financial year 2028 and it remains firmly on the schedule. Our second greenfield project in Gujarat being developed in joint venture is currently under the regulatory approval stage. This project is targeted for completion by the beginning of FY29, subject to regulatory approval, with a total estimated outlay of around 300 crores. Our continued focus on both ferrous and non-ferrous refractories, supported by rigorous work on specialization, innovation, and high technology product, positions us strongly for the future by offering total solutions and maintaining the highest standards of quality. We are building a sustainable foundation for long-term growth. We remain confident of taking the business to the next level. With healthy and stable margins going ahead, we remain confident in our long-term growth story. With this, now I hand over to Mr. Amit Agarwal, CFO, for financial performance.
Thank you, sir. Let me give a brief on the financial. Starting with the standalone financial highlights, total income in quarter 2 FY26 stood at rupees 288 crore, registering a strong 12% year-on-year growth. For H1 FY26, total income stood at 567 crore, which also saw an increase of 12% year-on-year. EBITDA for the quarter was 37.4 crore, growth of 12% year-on-year. EBITDA margin stood at 13 and 13.2% for both quarter and the half year ended respectively. Reflecting the impact of product mix, lower of export offtake, higher employee costs and initial expense related to our new plant operation. Despite this near-term pressure, we remain confident of sustaining our growth momentum in coming quarters. PAT stood at rupees 15 crore for quarter 2 FY26, a 9% growth, year-on-year growth, and rupees 30 crore for first half of the fiscal. Breaking it down further by geography, our domestic business recorded a robust 27% year-on-year growth in quarter 2 FY26, and 29% growth for H1 FY26, reaching 240 crore. The domestic market contributed 78% of our standalone revenue in H1 FY26, up from 69% in H1 FY25. Our export business declined by 20% year-on-year to 60 crore, contributing 21% of the total standalone revenue in quarter 2 FY26, compared to 29% in quarter 2 FY25. For H1 FY26, exports were lower by 21%, primarily due to a strategic shift in focus towards domestic market and moderate demand in key overseas geography aimed broader economic slowdown. Let me now move forward to consolidated financial highlights. Our consolidated financial highlights also include our international subsidiary. Total income for quarter 2 FY26 grew by 18% year-on-year, reaching rupees 490 crore. For H1 FY26, total income stood at 947 crore, which also saw an increase of 13% year-on-year. Our EBITDA stood at 40 crore for the quarter with a growth of 10% on year-on-year basis. And for the half year, it was 79 crores. EBITDA margin were 8.2% in quarter 2 FY26, and for H1 FY26 was at 8.3%. Profit after tax stood at 12.7 crores for quarter 2 FY26, up by 5% on year on year. And for H1 FY26, it stood at rupees 23.5 crores. With respect to liquidity position, we have debt of rupees 205.5 crore with a strong balance sheet. Cash and cash equivalents stood at rupees 124 crore on consolidated basis as on September 25. Our annualized ROEC stood at 6.7%. With this, I shall now leave the floor open for question and answer. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Mayank Bhandari from Asian Markets. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Just on the margin side, if you could highlight to, whether we have been able to move away from the alumina impact of the alumina price rise, which we have seen in last two quarters, and or whether it was still the impact. I mean, we have felt the impact of that in this quarter also, and how should we see this going forward? At least, if you could tell in terms of gross margin.
So alumina prices per se, to some extent, has become stable, but it's only it is affected by ocean price whenever we are importing. So barring that variation, otherwise the pay, overall the prices are, I would say, at par, and there are no increasing trend which we are seeing now.
So our gross margin has been fairly in the range of 47-48% on the console level. So we still, in fact, in standalone we have seen dip a bit, I mean, sequentially at least. So, I mean, is it related to product mix or how should we look at it?
So it's I think it's a combination of product mix and everything. So product mix as well as the export market and slight bit of raw material prices which we are carrying from the past. So we do not find further it to be going down from here.
And sir, in your Europe subsidiary, the performance in Europe seems to be good in terms of top line growth, but we still see that there is losses of almost 16 crore at EBIT level in first half. So, I mean, why is, till what how long it will continue, the losses, or what will be the break-even point in the Europe operations? Because I think we have shown good growth there in the Europe in the first half, at least in this quarter.
See, at least as you said, you know, we have our losses have reduced from corresponding quarter as well as previous quarter. So we do see a you know betterment in their figures and performance, and we expect that by this year end we may achieve a break even. But all this depends on this macroeconomic position out there in Europe. But we are optimistic henceforth.
And would you comment on like how is the performance in subsidiaries, at least in the foundry business? Are we still facing the Germany? Are we still facing issues with respect to demand?
I think this the economy of Germany, as we have mentioned in our speech also, Europe is more or less now stable, and we can see a slight bit of you know positiveness to tune of 1% growth. So we need to take advantage of that, and maybe in next 2 quarters we may see further improvement in revenue as well as bottom line of European subsidiaries.
Sure, sir. I will get back in the queue.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all, you may press star and 1 to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Rajesh Majumdar from 361 BNK. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon, sir. I just wanted to have an outlook on the pricing scenario in the sector, especially in the non-flow control areas. Are there any price increases which have come through or are likely to come through, because the margins are more or less static for everyone in the industry, and there is a lot of import trade also happening here. So is the pricing scenario looking better, and why, and how much price improvement can you expect in some time, in the times to come?
So, I mean, there are no improvement in the pricing trend is expected, but whatever pricing are getting now, that that is expected to be hold. You know, we will be holding on to that. And on the other side, the prices are also on not, you know, on a plateau, you know, not increase more. So that's why the margin and the price level will be maintained for some time. But I don't think we can expect any better,
further
price increase. Yeah.
What about flow control? Is there any price increase expected in that area?
Same. Because there is no price. Whatever price increase has happened 3 months back, so that will be the only thing. So now we don't expect. And then flow controls are also decided in a cycle of 1 year, 2 years. So once done, at least for next 1 year, there is no change.
And we have seen, sir, alumina prices have corrected by almost halved. So that impact is not likely to come. How much of your effect is alumina based? And will the impact of the lower alumina prices not come in terms of margins, or will it get absorbed in the higher cost?
No, I don't think there's low alumina, because the particularly alumina indices which are you comparing, and the specialty alumina what it is used in refractories, I think they are not comparable. But otherwise the alumina, the purer version of white used alumina and tabular alumina, there is no fall in the price. It's only the steady.
What had gone up from $600, $700 to $1,100 per ton, as I understand the specialty, is still there, or it has corrected there from there?
So it is maybe $1,100, $1,000. It's like tune of $12 or something, which is insignificant.
Okay. And what about magnesite?
Magnesite almost remains plateau, same, because even the raw magnesite and all, the prices are same, but on the other side it is leveled by price increase on power cost. So overall there is no much change.
Sure, sir. Thank you. I'll join back with you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Lakshmi Narayanan from Tunga Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Just want to understand the last 6 months, what has been the India-made and India-sold flow control devices? What has been the revenue growth in the last 6 months? And the second question is that you are setting up this dolomite capacity, and I understand that Calderys is also setting up something similar. So do you anticipate some kind of, I mean, if my judgment is right, if they are also doing into dolomite, are we looking at surplus capacity in that area? These are the two questions for now.
Yeah, so as far as, India made, India sold is concerned, as already our, in our speech itself we have given, so the growth is to the tune of 20 to 22%, okay, in India made, India sold, which was already okay. And on the second part, part of the question, what you said development is about, I think in the previous calls also I was mentioning about the dolomite usage outside India for steel, general steel, in addition to stainless steel, as well as in cement industry, is much more. But the trend has never come into India. I'm telling you, even, once when we are going to be at least, if not 100%, at least 50% of the trend what is used outside India in Europe and America and other places, then India, the dolomite demand will be so high that even if there are 2-3 players comes in, even if it is going to be 200,000 ton a year, it will be consumed. Because it is now under, test. Once that is confirmed, I am telling you, the demand-supply gap is going to be absolutely favorable to the producer of dolomite refractory, number one. Number two, the primary consumer of the dolomite in the country is now stainless steel. But if you track the projects which are announced and the capacity expansion in stainless steel alone, they themselves will have almost 15 to 20% growth on volume in terms of consumed dolomite refractory. But I do not know about your information about the other competition also coming into this. We do not have such information. But even if it comes, we will be running short. I'm telling you, even if whatever you mentioned is going to be fructified in coming 2-3 years, by the time FY29 starts, still, that is going to be a very, very favorable demand supply gap for the producers of government refractories.
Sir, in the first half, in the standalone revenues, what has been the exports growth? Sorry, I didn't read it properly. So if that information is already there,
I'll pick it up from the transcript. Export is 21% of total revenue for the quarter.
I'm talking standalone.
Only standalone we speak about exports. Yeah. Because other places it's local sales.
And for the first half, so what has been the growth?
For the first half, it's 22%.
Okay.
Export business. And if you say in terms of domestic business, it is 78% for H1 and 79% for quarter 2.
And within that, the mix of flow control devices, how much it is?
That we do not segregate and share.
Sorry. Sir, and in the India business, what has been the new products or new plant acquisition which we have got? Because we have been doing some pilots in certain plants. So just want to understand in the last 6 months, how we have progressed on new plant / new client or product in growth in India?
No. See, new products, the primarily what we have come into now ladle refractories with magnesia carbon where we were not there earlier. So in the last 6 months we have come and we have come to the level of almost our 500-600 ton a month, which was not there 6 months back. Okay, so that is one area which helped us in enhancing the share of spend with the existing customers. Because for us, because our presence in all leading steel plants are already there, and this has helped us enhancing our share of spend in each customer. And there are also 2-3 customers where we have new, but with existing products we have acquired. So both put together have yielded us that, you know, India made India sold the growth.
Got it. Sir, in one of the calls of your competitor, they had mentioned that there has been a lot of pricing challenges, maybe last quarter or the previous quarter they had actually mentioned. So now whether those pricing pressures are eased with respect to the industry, I'm talking about the iron and steel industry, the factories in India?
Pricing challenges, I don't remember in my 33 years of service in this industry, there was any time that there was no pricing challenge. Pricing challenge
okay.
is part of the business.
Got it. Okay. Okay. Thank you, sir. I'll come back in.
You are welcome.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Nirav Bhanushali from Systematics, PMS and AIF. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I just wanted to understand that we have been able to maintain the margins, and as the raw material prices have been stable or going downwards, so any margin guidance you provide for H2?
We couldn't hear anything from you. Can you use a different thing or something? Because we are not able to hear you.
Yeah. Am I audible now?
Yes, now it's better.
Yeah. So what I was asking is, okay, like we have been able to maintain our margins on the quarterly basis, and as we see the raw material prices also being stable or more moving on a downward trajectory. So, like, for H2, any margin guidance we can provide, any improvement in margins?
So, I think we have given our margin guidance for the year, and we stick to that.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sahil Sanghvi from Monarch Networth Capital Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. So just a few questions from my side. First, if you can help us understand what's happening at Monocon and the Europe side of business, and what's leading to this improved profitability or the reduction of losses at Monocon?
Yeah. So off late, if you would have seen, world over, wherever this refractory congress has been happening, so our Monocon innovative products, refractory products, have been very well accepted, and it all has been converted into trial orders in many places. And that is what, in my opening remark, if you would have carefully noticed, that I was mentioning about our increased focus on the refractory core products, you know, because we are, I mean, Monocon is the expert, you know, in machineries, and which is very, very important. We are only limited people in the world to provide. Monocon is already leader in that, but in addition to that, we have enhanced our focus on the refractory product, which makes a package for the customer, which have really attracted. Even in India also, now coming January 26th, we are going to have a conference that where we are going to present kind of a package thing. Even we are talking about bringing it to India also. Okay, so this has actually gained a lot of importance, and you know, with many customers, and that is how both revenue also is improving, and we are able to reduce our losses.
And are these the same products that we used to sell before, lenses and all those products, or is there, I mean, sorry, which products are we doing here?
No, no. See, there are a big revolution in conditioner factory linings. Very big change, revolution, because now everybody is all, you know, high throughput production in steel plants. The completely the scenario is changing towards much, much longer sequences. So along with that, keeping in phase, they're also developing the advanced solution for Tandy, which actually I mentioned as core refractory focus enhancement.
Got it. And the improvement in the America business is largely because of the price hikes you've got for refractory, or any other, is there improved traction on the volumes also over there?
Volume also, it pays a lot.
So can we expect it to breach that 10-11% margins for the America entity in couple of quarters? I mean, can we ever go back to those high teen margins which we used to do a couple of years back for EI
Ceramics? Yeah, I mean, you know, Sahil, if you look at the comparative terms, we have already made presentation. In fact, on the bottom line, they have doubled. Almost like what we used to do in the past, right? But on the specific percentage, I don't think we'll be able to give you any guidance, but specific number, but it's going to be better and better in coming days. That much is absolutely sure.
Right, sir. Right. And secondly, sir, how do you expect raw material pricing to behave in the second half? I mean, can we expect any kind of benefits over there, or do we expect it to be largely the same?
No. I don't think so. Raw material is going to be, almost at the stable level. I don't think we can expect anything, the raw material which is involved in our space. I'm not aware of the other things, but here we don't foresee anything. A drastic reduction.
Got it, sir. Got it. Thank you. Thank you very much, sir.
Welcome, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, this was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Okay. So, I hope we have been able to answer most of your queries. We look forward to your participation in the next call. For any queries, you may contact SGA, our investor relations advisor. Thank you, all of you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. On behalf of Monarch Networth Capital Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.